Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Oh, my goodness. The button was stuck, Kellen. I just about had to have you do the final half hour of the show.
It helps if you have that on, yes.
Well, I know, and typically it's the on-air button that I screw up. Today, the microphone wouldn't turn on. So it's always something.
It is always something, yes.
Be ready, or actually get ready to call Reed.
Will.
No, I think I can handle the final 20 minutes here, especially when we've got such a high-quality guest on the horizon. I'll tell you, Royal Pizza is pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years now. Check out the menu at royalpizza.ca. Yeah, we're joined for this final segment by our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. John, how's it going this evening?
I'm great, Brendan. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm trying to think when we would have last spoken to you, and I guess you would have been on site for those couple games in Ontario, no?
Yes, I was there in Toronto and in Ottawa, both losses.
Yeah.
So people were pointing fingers at me, so.
Right. Were they also in Buffalo when you did that swing?
No. Yeah, but I saved the day with the day in Pittsburgh next day.
So. That's right. So, I mean, being in the building in Toronto, regardless of whether there's a rivalry here, whether it's all media fueled, I wonder what the building's like when you walk in there. It's hockey night in Canada and the Oilers are in town. I mean, is there a certain, vivaciousness to the building?
Not only the building, but the neighborhood around the arena. Walking up between, 2 hours before game time, there's enough places where people on a Saturday can go get something to eat or drink. And there were a ton of Oiler fans and I think just a ton of hockey fans really excited to see Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. There's a real awareness about the Oilers across the country. I mentioned it on the broadcast in Ottawa. You know, Edmonton is a national brand. It's not just a local team coming from Edmonton. It's a brand that has been for decades recognizable to hockey fans everywhere. There's a real affinity for Ontario with the Oilers because of Wayne Gretzky for the longest time, who grew up 80 miles from Toronto, and Connor McDavid now, who grew up 30 miles from Toronto. So there is something special about the two teams and the rivalry and the Ontario connection.
And with all that said, it's Wainwright's Bobby McCann who maybe made the biggest difference in the game of anybody. Naturally.
Yeah, Bobby McMahon did it was solid. The thing about him is, he played for the Marlies, the AHL team here. You don't realize how big and fast he is from that perspective, and he's been given a real opportunity. The Maple Leafs in many ways mirror what the Oilers are trying to go through and trying to improve their depth over the last couple of years, and McMahon appears to be one of the remedies that the Maple Leafs have found, getting some quality time. His most successful time has been on the third line when you get to play beside John Tavares. That's not a bad thing.
All right. I'm sure we're getting messages now talking about how this is called Leafs now and blah, blah, blah. Big win last night and 3-1 lead, John. And boy, the game, it slips a little bit away from them. And then they bring it back around. And Zach Hyman, somewhat poetically, in a time where, the focus has been taking away, in some sense, from the 50-goal mark. And yet he scores his 51st in short order. That's almost worth highlighting in its own. He didn't get stuck on 48 or 49. He's just been consistently ticking ahead right through that plateau and beyond.
been consistent since October too, Brendan. Even through the low light of October and early November, he was the bright light for the Edmonton Oilers. The other thing, when you talk about some sort of justice, look who helped set up the goal last night in Winnipeg. The guy who got called for the invisible penalty. And Brian Nugent-Hopkins, who made a great play there and got the assist. So for my money, in that scenario, that was a perfect way to end a game. And when you consider on Sunday night in Ottawa, the storyline, other than Hyman's 50th goal, would have to be the inefficiency of the Oilers' penalty kill, where they gave up three goals in a total of 39 seconds. They went 5-for-5 last night. And really, you know, that four-minute penalty kill and then the penalty kill late in the third, to me, that was the biggest difference in the game.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I was chatting with Rob Brown about the significance of the penalty kill as it moves forward here. And what was I going to ask Rob that I was going to redirect and ask you instead? Now I got to think. Oh, okay, so you mentioned the penalty at the end of the game, John. And yeah. Bob posed the question to me. He says, well, Brendan, the general managers all just agreed that that's the exact rule that will be reviewable next year.
Correct.
What is the process to implement that sooner, theoretically? I mean, I don't think they're going to do it as a result of what we saw last night. But, you know, let me ask you why, when they decide unanimously on something, it does take that integration process a while.
Well, it you have to go through layers of approvals. So once the managers recommend the change in the rule book, it goes to the competition committee, which is comprised of players, ownership, league officials, and coaches, and that will happen probably in the first week in June, and then it goes to the Board of Governors for approval at the end of June. And the reason why you don't expedite it and do it, for instance, next week is quite simply fair play. Why would we allow it to happen in the last month of a season when we didn't allow it in the first 7 months of the season, where other teams could have been affected by it? You have to really start these things in the off season. So it will be put into play. It will be the internal name for it is friendly fire, right? So the friendly fire rule will become a coach's challenge next year, just like offside and goalie interference.
All right, that makes much more sense than me trying to explain it. But essentially, it's agreed to in principle right now, and then there's some red tape that they have to cross before it.
The protocol of getting the Players Association to buy in on it, and then basically getting rubber stamped by the Board of Governors at the summer governors meeting. Yeah.
A couple more quick ones here for you. So Evander Kane is held out of the lineup for maintenance day. Personally, I never thought it was a maintenance day. Okay, I think that's a nice way of saying he needed a breather, a timeout. Gets that, comes back into the lineup, and you think what of his return to the lineup last night against Winnipeg?
Well, he was noticeable. He couldn't, you know, his unfortunate inability to finish was a bit of an issue, but he had a role to play and played it. So I think that what you saw there was somebody, you know, trying to prove to people that he's still in pretty good shape and can be a difference maker. Listen, Evander Kane's role on this club, if he's missing a game in March, that's one thing. He has to be part of the remedy in the playoffs. He's built for the Stanley Cup playoffs. He playing on the edge, but not over. Using the body. He does at times have some speed that you go, wow, that's faster than I thought he was. He can be a very effective player in a very tight game. And that's what you have to have Evander Kane for. You don't have to nearly have him for the games in March in Ottawa. You have to have him for that first round series against Vegas or Los Angeles.
We've got John Shannon on the hotline, and we've got John on the Ashley Fine Floors text line saying, you guys have to comment on Connor Brown's goal, which is now his third of the season. You hope that when a player finally breaks the seal, like he had such a long spell and well-documented as it was. But you can only hope that they start to trickle in the way that they have for Brown, and he's finishing things that may otherwise have not gone in for him earlier in the season. It's a feel-good story to me, John. I think there was an audio clip of him mic'd up saying that was the heaviest monkey on my back I could have imagined. It was a full-blown gorilla.
Yeah, and you know, Connor's one of those guys I've known for a while, and you're able to sit in the dressing room and beside him and talk to him about, you know, the ups and downs, and up until recently, the downs about it. And he was very pragmatic about it. It says I'm still working hard, but what he would never ever talk about was you know, the difficulty of the rehab, the difficulty of getting back in game shape with the severe knee injury and surgery that he had. And it takes time, and you know, if I mean, I talked to him, gosh, I want to say the second week of December, and he did admit there was still a little bit of pain in when he was on the ice. And you know, yeah, in playing through that, you know that it's going to affect you. I just think he's gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. The one thing I would say is you have to give Chris Knobloch a ton of credit for creating a role for Brown, as he has for Derek Ryan, in killing penalties, so that they knew that they could contribute to the club without scoring goals. And I think that was a really, really key cornerstone in helping Connor Brown get back to where we see him today. The three goals, that's great. You know, I think that, you know, what he showed the other night was, you know, he still has the shot. I think that some people wondered whether he had lost his hands at one point. But I think coming back and after the great ovation in Edmonton for goal number one, which wasn't the prettiest goal, but it went in. I think that started the momentum, and I don't think anybody should be surprised that he's now got three, and wouldn't be surprised if he gets three more before the end of the season.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? And particularly as these games feel more and more like the playoffs. Of course, it feels like any time you play Winnipeg, it's a playoff style of game. That was on display last night. And here we go again tomorrow, John, with LA. I think they're probably the team's most pertinent rival as it stands, just with how the last couple of playoffs have played out. That's my opinion. I wonder what you're expecting tomorrow when the Kings come to town.
It's funny. So I deal with lots of people in both Los Angeles and Las Vegas. And so you speak to the people in Los Angeles and they say, God, we really want to play anybody but Edmonton in the first round of the playoffs because they've lost the two series. That's a reality. Now, that's not necessarily the players, but that's people in and around the organization saying, it's about time we saw somebody else in this first round. When you sit and talk with the people in Vegas and you say, well, you know, this is a game and a league built on rivalries, who's your biggest rival right now? And to a man, they all say Edmonton. They all think the Oilers are that team that they should be worried about and should be, you know, and enjoy playing against. Again, a situation where that was a playoff series that the Golden Knights won last year. But to me, that's rather interesting. The team that I think that everybody views as the biggest rival, LA, doesn't want to play the Oilers. And Vegas, I think, looks forward to playing the Oilers. So between those two teams, and I think it's pretty obvious it's either one of those two teams that the Oilers are going to play, unless they're able to catch Vancouver somehow. It is going to. We know it's going to be a heavy series, no matter who they play, and it's going to be a long series, no matter who they play.
John, I'll let you get back to this Senators Sabres game in the Shan Cave. I know we're at intermission, but it looks like it's been pretty entertaining.
I'm watching Tampa Boston.
No, so. There you go, even better. John, thanks.
Cheers.
John Shannon, our NHL insider, who is not watching the Canadian content tonight. But frankly, who could blame him when those two teams are playing? It's been a couple of fights. Ottawa had like four goals on about three shots. So that was something to start the game. 6:49 in Edmonton. Reed Wilkins on deck.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It is 6:55. Do you know what this song is? You're drumming to it. I have no idea.
No. Is that a Motley Crue song?
Kellen? No, we're getting the head shake.
It's labeled as Smashing Pumpkins. I don't have a title.
Oh,
really?
Oh, okay. Huh. Sorry.
No, that's not what I thought it was. Not to disregard the Smashing Pumpkins. It's just not that. It is, however, the time to secure your Oilers season seats for next season and guarantee yourself access to this year's postseason. Some limited seats available, so become a registry member right now at edmontonoilers.com/season seats. Got pretty good seats, very close to this guy at Rogers Place, and you will have the airwaves next. It's Reed Wilkins.
I basically have a private box at Oilers games.
But for Troy Bowler up there, you essentially
Troy Bowler
do.
And I, yep. In our broadcast booth, I'm quite comfortable, yeah. Though I'm probably the furthest away of the ice of any media member. Probably any person in Rogers Place.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm probably the furthest away from the game.
Until the activation team goes to parachute the pizzas
right.
Out of the rafters.
Well, I guess the visiting play-by-play guys are up that high.
I don't mind it. You know what? I don't mind it. What I do mind, and I know Bob talks a lot about this, is the air conditioning that they pump into the building to keep the ice as
pristine. It's freezing.
It's not great. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
What were you asking me?
I was going to say we've got a... Listen, to me, LA is Edmonton's biggest rival because they play dirty. They've got Drew Doughty. They've got Mikey Anderson. They play physical. You know, there's been those interactions. And... I'm really excited to see what plays out and how it plays out tomorrow night. But am I making a mountain out of a molehill?
Well, no, it's a big game. It's not a be-all and end-all game. Because if the Oilers lose, they'll still be ahead of them. With, what, two games in hand? Or one?
One game in hand. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an important game. It's a good late-season measuring stick, set-the-tone type game. Because they very well might play in the playoffs. Well, I mean, Vegas will still have a say in this. But I feel I'd be more hyped for when they play the Golden Knights, which is, in a couple weeks?
Yes. And that's completely fair. Completely fair. The recency bias would lead me there as well. I just think that anytime I see some son of a gun in an LA Kings, I don't like the way their fans act when Edmonton plays there. I mean, there's been stories of them, you know, whatever. The playoffs got ugly, and this is what we love about sports. And so I'm excited for that one tomorrow, needless to say. I wonder what you've got on tonight to tee it up.
We have Kelly Rudy on the show. Huh. And Luke Gazdick.
Well, Kelly played for them. That's a good guy.
Kelly played for the LA Kings. We're going to talk a lot about Zach Hyman, though, because they both appreciate Zach. Luke's going to dive into the fights from last night and what it means to see Corey Perry doing that. And Kelly's going to touch on the... I don't have much to say about this guy that... I didn't even watch what he said. Like, you and somebody else subbed it up for me.
Yeah.
Like, I know I cover the Oilers, but I don't feel like I have to comment on everything that everybody else says about the team.
Yeah.
But Kelly will want to. He's told me that. So he'll. But Kelly's a very positive guy. So I think he's not going to attack this gentleman. He'll give his own take on it. I really think from an Oilers, from living in Edmonton and talking to Oilers fans in both my professional and personal lives, people are thrilled for Zach Hyman. Like, to me, this is one of the happiest regular season stories that there's been since I've covered the team. Like, I'm not exposing myself to enough, but I haven't heard an Oilers fan say well, he's not that good, or everybody's thrilled.
You hear Canucks fans, Leafs fans, and evidently, as this guy is a Canadiens partisan, saying that kind of thing, but that doesn't come from Edmonton. And where does he interact with the most people here in Edmonton? Yeah, where does his personality shine the brightest
here?
He might
get 60 goals. This is incredible. Like, he's still, let's still
okay,
watch
30,
for that.
36 of them have come from in front of the net, so it doesn't matter. Oh, my God. You know what? Go watch something else, then, if that's the case. I got to get to this day in Oilers history. I can't wait for your show, Reed. That's coming up next here. We do have this day in Oilers history brought to you by New West Travel. Explore Southeast Asia on that chartered river cruise next March. Call or visit newwesttravel.com. We're only going back a year when Leon Draisaitl scored the 300th goal. goal of his NHL career in a 5-4 road win over Arizona at Mullet Arena. That's going to sound hilarious when someone reads this in a few years on this show. Draisaitl, Evan Bouchard, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins actually all had a goal and an assist, and Jack Campbell picked up the win in goal. Mullet Arena. Mullet Arena. Josh Doan has a lot of goals there. Seems to be a lot more around the corner after a couple as a Coyote. Okay, tomorrow we're going to preview the Kings and Oilers for you. We've got Ron McLean coming up from NHL Hockey on Rogers as well for our friends at Century Casino Edmonton and Sportsnet color analyst Louis DeBrusque for GCL Diesel. Reed has the airwaves next. It's Inside Sports right around the corner. Thanks to Kellen. Thanks to Reed. Hey, thanks to Randy Kilburn. He was reading the news, but he won't be this time. Thomas Dias has the headlines next.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.